Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast
and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
We're on. We're live. Hello. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer. I can't believe I messed that up after I've done it so many times.
I can.
Mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week. I'm Mike from Boston, and with me this week is...
Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Cool. How you guys doing?
Good. I'm still here in Vegas.
We got a crazy show this week.
Crazy.
It's 12 monkeys.
12 monkeys.
Yep.
12
monkeys everywhere. Plague of madness. We got. I guess Dave found our theme for the week.
Huh?
I said you found our theme for the week.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
So, yes, we got 12 monkeys. We got a bunch of monkey beers. We don't have 12 monkey beers, but we have a few. The one that we're going to be doing on YouTube here is the Shipyard Monkey Fist IPA from Shipyard Brewing Company. And then later on in the show, the full version of the show that comes out sometime over the weekend, we have some other beers we'll be doing. Toby, what are you going to try?
I'm going to try a new brewery to the show, which is Three Monkeys Brewing, and it's their Yosemite Falls IPA.
Oh.
Oh, cool. How about you, Dave?
I got Victory's Golden Monkey.
Oh, the Golden Monkey.
Golden Monkey.
I had that beer on one of our shows. I'll have to look that up and see what show I've done that on. I also this week got a Victory beer, and I got the Victory White Monkey.
Wow. They have a black monkey?
Yeah. I don't know. I think right now they just have the white and the golden. I don't think there's a black monkey.
Any brown monkeys?
All right. Without further ado, and before Dave gets worse.
Before we offend anybody else.
Yeah. Let's crack open this Shipyard Monkey Fist IPA.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Oh, he just cracked it. I guess because
well,
I told him
let's
to.
Let's crack it.
So, yeah, the Monkey Fist. Here we go. So, the Monkey Fist is from Shipyard Brewing Company. The website is www.shipyardbrewing.com. The ABV on this beer is 6.9%. It, I don't have the IBUs. Nope, I don't have the IBUs. But what I do have is I'm going to crack it and give you some of the ingredients here. For malts, they use pale, malted wheat, Munich, crystal, and caramel. For hops, they use Warrior, Glacier, and Cascade.
Warrior.
And for yeast, they use the top fermenting English ale yeast. It's a nice golden color.
Yeah.
Rich golden color.
Well, it's kind of
opaque too.
Yeah, I have a little bit. It might be a chill haze though, Dave.
Dude, it's not a chill haze, man.
No. Yeah, I mean it is slightly cloudy.
Slightly,
but I can still see through it pretty good.
Yeah. It's a beautiful caramel color, though.
Yeah, I like it. Oh, dude, this is a twist-off. This is a twist-off 22.
Oh, wow. Mine's a twist-off, and it's a 12-ounce.
Huh.
I've never seen a twist-off 22-ounce that I've never noticed any of them.
Well, now you have.
Crazy.
Now you know. So,
I got about a finger and a half, about a finger of head.
Good solid finger of head. It's like I said, it's got that really nice golden color to it. Lots of carbonation.
Oh, it's got some stank.
It's a sweet kind of a stank, though. It's
kind of like an apple. Like a musty apple. That's what I'm getting right now.
Yeah, I'm just getting kind of a musty. There's a little bit of sweetness in there, but yeah, I can see the apple, almost like an apple core, you know? Not really an apple skin, but more of the meat of the apple? Yeah.
I'm taking a sip.
There's something else in there. It's that, kind of malt. I'm actually getting some smell of some malty something.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like a doughy, like a sticky doughy wheat.
Sticky malty kind of thing. Taking a sip, yeah. It's got some maltiness.
Yeah.
Almost like a honeycomb kind of maltiness. Mm. And but it's got the bitterness.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there is a nice
because it dries right up.
Yeah.
But right in the middle, I got like a honeycomb kind of maltiness.
Wow.
Yeah, it definitely has a pretty big astringent in the end there, like very dry astringent.
It's like bitter and sticky.
Yeah, it has the numbing effect on the tongue,
but it's not the blast you in the face kind of.
No, I like the fact that it's got a little dirtiness in there. There's something
on the far end of the finish. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else in there.
Like a dry grass.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking like a really dull kind of mild wood, but you're right. It's more like a brown grassy, you know, dry grass.
Lawn trimmings.
Almost, but not quite hay, but you know, like dry grass.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as far as this, like go with hay or like alfalfa or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe straw. Right.
Yeah.
Straw.
Shit doesn't smell like a hamster cage, but.
Hamster cage, it stink.
I know.
God, there's this weird funkiness though in the middle. Like it's.
Yep. Yep. It does have a.
Like a dirty, stinky kind of.
Yeah, just a night, like a funky earthiness.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What would you guys pair with this one?
You know what? This.
Sage. It's like a sage. That's what it is. It's like.
But it's not that strong. It's not that, you know.
No, but it's got that, maybe thyme or something. But some sort of herbaceousness.
Yeah.
Herbaceousness.
This seems very shipyard to me, and maybe it reminds me kind of the 4X.
Okay.
But the 4X, I think, wasn't as bitter as this, because this way more astringent bitterness.
The 4X is horribly named, because you really think that is going to be
like a triple or a quadruple IPA or something.
Just a sock in the face of monster bitterness. And
well, how do you know it's just not going to be like naked girls, like, you know, doing anal pen or something?
No. I don't know if that. That's what I thought of. Maybe I should have. Maybe it would have made the beer.
See, like triple X would just be, you know, like
different
you
experience.
Triple X would be girl on girl, but quadruple X would be, you know, like girl on girl with like hard toys.
I love that Dave knows his X ratings. That's awesome.
No, I don't know. I'm just making this shit up.
I'm sure they do too when they're rating it. I don't know what I want with this as far as food.
This is a 5X.
I realize that we're live, right? We can't like edit this part of the show.
All right, all the strip clubs that have monkeys are now like we just lost all of those listeners.
Yeah, all their strip Damn club it. Monkey fans.
Can you imagine a little strip club that has a monkey that just runs around picking up all the cash for the girls?
That'd be pretty
that would be pretty awesome, actually. I might go to a strip club like that.
The girl just dances, got the monkey on her shoulder,
like
you know?
Like some Balinese strip club or something.
If if Mike went to a strip club with that, he would make it rain.
All right, folks. We got a new job for Mike.
Yeah. All right. Food. Come on, guys. Give me some suggestions here. Need some food pairings. I'm hungry for just about anything right now.
Stuffed bell peppers.
I want something with a little more heat to it.
Yeah, I was going to go Thai food. I was going to do some spicy Thai. Okay. Or some sort of spicy Asian. Spicy noodles. With an egg roll.
You know how they got that Thai fried rice that's like a basil, like a spicy basil fried rice? Something like that would go pretty good with this beer.
I could totally see the sriracha with this.
Yeah, because the sriracha has a little bit of the sweetness in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, there you have it. That is the Shipyard Monkey Fist IPA, and I do not have Untappd even open. So if you have it, go ahead, read it.
Yeah. I'll check it in after. Monkey Fist IPA on Untappd comes in at a 3.39 out of 19,774 ratings. And the top three popular locations to drink it is Brew at the Zoo in Syracuse, New York.
Dang.
Which I think is a festival. The Shipyard Brewing Company in Portland, Maine. And Meehan's of Huntington in Huntington, New York.
Cool. The Beer Advocate users rate this a 77, which is okay. And there you have it, folks. That is our fermentation conversation. We have lots more monkey.
You guys want to see my bonobo impersonation?
No.
Are you going to start throwing your poop around?
He's going to teabag the screen. Teabag the snowball.
I saw this video. Folks, I saw this video. This little monkey.
Before this show gets any crazier, we'll be back right after this.
Google Frog and Monkey. Google Frog and Monkey.
Do we have to
go Monkey rapes little frog.
Back in time before we go to the next segment?
No.
Do we?
So we can... No?
Go back in time.
Do I look like I have a DeLorean?
12 monkeys, fool. We have to go like in the future so we can go back.
1996 would be the future. That doesn't make any sense.
Toby, I think you need to drink some more beer.
I think so, too. I think you're right, Dave.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Some of you folks that are on the West Coast know that we're experiencing probably one of the most severe droughts that we've ever had in history, I think.
You should just borrow water from us. We've been getting tons of rain.
Well, yeah. You know, and there's going to be a point where economic feasibility is going to drive things that are happening. I remember, like, in the mid-90s when I was in college, they were talking about getting shale oil, you know, the oil that's... you know, from different places and stuff, and even oil that's in mud. You know, it was just at the time, you know, it's like the sandy oil that, you know, it wasn't economically feasible to extract the oil from the sand. Because, you know, why can you do that when you have all this crude oil, like in the Middle East and Texas and Alaska and all that? You know, but all in Canada and stuff, they're saying that there's a lot of this oil and sand, but it just costs a lot of money to get it. So, you know, now it's, you know, as oil prices keep rising and rising, you know, it becomes feasible for them to, you know, start using this oil from the sand.
Like fracking and stuff like that?
Well, that's natural gas. But, oh, yeah.
They still frack for oil. I mean, that shaling stuff is still it's still fracking, as far as I know. It's the
Mike,
same,
where's your
it's
Yeti?
The same type of process.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Where are your Yeti?
I'm over here. But, it's the same process, as far as I know. Fracking is that similar process, even though they're going for oil as opposed to natural gas, vice versa.
Yeah. So, similar to that with water, you know, it's you know, obviously California gets a lot of its water from, you know, particularly from the Colorado River, especially Southern California, you know, and other sources. But right now it's still pretty expensive to desalinate water or to import it from somewhere else. You know, but as it becomes more scarce, and also even our aquifers are starting to dry up. You know, people are saying that's more worrisome than, you know, the oil that we're getting, you know, from the rivers and stuff. But, you know, like Mike said, you know, we'll just get it from us. We got a ton of water. But, you know, that water's got to be shipped to California or sent in a canal to California or somehow delivered to California. And, you know, what's going to be cheaper? Is it going to be cheaper just to desalinate it? Is it going to be cheaper, you know, to just making water from hydrogen and oxygen? Is it going to be cheaper, you know, to just turn wastewater into, you know, potable water? But you're probably wondering, how in the hell does this all relate to craft beer?
Yeah.
But the reality is that most breweries, you know, it takes anywhere between 3 and 8 gallons of water to make a gallon of beer. And, you know, with the potential cost of water, you know, starting to rise as, you know, as our stores dry up and, you know, we need to start looking at other places and more expensive, you know, means of water. What does it mean for the breweries? Does it mean more expensive beer? Does it mean breweries are going to start bouncing out of California and going other places? You know, or does it mean that they change their brewing methods or, you know, whatever? There's a lot of things that can happen here. So there's been a few articles that are coming out now. You know, that talk that specifically addressed that. And, you know, some breweries are doing what they can to be more sustainable. You know, like I remember I was looking today at Full Sail. They had a thing talking about how they've reduced their water usage down to about 2.5 gallons to make a gallon of beer, you know, versus, you know, a standard of maybe, you know, 6, 7, or 8 gallons.
Now, are they taking all? I'm assuming that they're taking all the water into account, because I mean that sounds like quite a bit to make a gallon of beer. So, are they including like the sterilization and that type of thing?
I'm pretty sure that that is.
Like, it's probably all the water that they use to actually right. from start to finish to make the beer.
Yeah, I mean they got a lot of. I mean, with beer, I think, you know, there's a lot of sanitation and a lot of cleaning and stuff that has to happen. And, mm-hmm. I mean even. Even some of the even the bottling processes, they'll have like a table that is wet down with water so that the bottles will move down the table, you know. And so they instead of having a metal table or whatever, they changed it out to a plastic top just so it'd be, you know, a little less friction or whatever, and reduce that water usage.
They should be thinking. I mean, I'm you know, the thing about the positive spin on this for me is when this stuff happens, that it makes companies think about how to consume less to make their product. And yeah. I think that's kind of the good thing, because I think a lot of us just take for granted, you know, how much we use when we could be using a whole hell of a lot less. So that, I think, hopefully is a kind of a wake-up call to say, hey, water's something that we have to worry about here in California, so let's figure out how to use less, you know?
Yeah, you know what's also interesting too is that some of these breweries take their water directly from rivers.
Yeah.
You know, and as these rivers dry up, there's water rights that, you know, people have and claims on that water. You know, like Mexico, I know has some claims on the Colorado River water. You know, and if we use it all up and, you know, taint it up before they get it, you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and I know Poland Spring has their. Their claws tightly gripped on all a lot of the water from Maine on down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also interesting too, though, is, you know, for a lot of these California breweries use, like, you know, like Rogue talks all about their free range coastal water. you know, how much of that, how much of their beer really is dependent on that particular water source, you know, and if it's not there, like, let's say they decide, well, you know, we really can't do this in a cost-effective manner anymore, and the price point for their beers being that they're a little priced already, you know, are they going to, you know, continue to raise their prices, or are they going to, you know, bounce it off to, you know, to another state or something? And if they do, you know, the water chemistry is going to be, you know, different out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I was thinking is if they did have to outsource their water from another state or whatever, it's going to change the way that the beer tastes. It's going to change the pH balance of the beer and all that stuff. I mean, they can manipulate it only so far, I think. You know, I mean, I know Stone does the reverse osmosis type thing, so I think they'd probably be fine no matter what water they get. I'm sure they would be. Mm-hmm. Their beer would all stay pretty consistent, but
well, that's also interesting too, because you know, because Stone is opening up, you know, breweries all over the place. I mean, they just announced a German brewery, and
yeah,
you know, that
breaking ground in Berlin or something like
yeah,
that speak.
Yeah. What about the breweries over in Michigan and what is it? Was it Lake Huron that had the algae infection? Like all the high algae blooms or something that happened in their water recently. Was that Lake Huron? Like parts of Ohio or something? They couldn't drink water for like 3 days or something until they
dang
had Lake tested. Erie, right? I think Lake Erie.
Oh, was it Erie?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I think. But yeah, I mean, that's that can't be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This stuff is always interesting just to see how companies react to it and see.
But I'm wondering if this is why a lot of breweries are you know, California breweries are, you know, opening breweries like in, you know, North Carolina, you know, or is it South Carolina? Wherever Asheville is. You know, it's like, is it because maybe it's a cheaper cost of doing business and, you know, a more stable water supply, a more predictable, you know, expense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there's lots of different things that could go into it. Distribution, cheaper than distribution, and yeah, taxes might be lower in certain states, so it
more
cost effective for them to build a brewery in that state and distribute, you know, a lot more locally and all that. But that's what, when you're talking about water rights and stuff, I mean, I know California, there's a lot of farmland, and then there's, even though it's pretty much a desert where a lot of these farmlands are, I mean,
do they need more water?
Yeah, I mean, do they somehow have a lot more rights than other businesses, ever, other industries or whatever? So as the water trickles through the state, are they the ones that are going to be getting it first, and then breweries might be kind of, you know, as far as the businesses and the industries and stuff like that are concerned? Or does the brewing industry, like say San Diego, like maybe the brewing industry is so big in San Diego, will they have a louder voice and be able to like pull some of those, that resource towards them because of the industry and because of the,
yeah, but you know, you had to remember
that economy and stuff
water
like that.
Water is still going to be a limited resource, you know, and, you know, while, you know, breweries do use millions and millions and millions of gallons a year, you know, there's other industries that use, you know, water too, you know, and at different levels of, you know, like, you know, either potable water or, you know, reclaimed water or whatever. I mean, even the, you know, like the water that goes to your fire hydrant is the same water that you drink, and it's the same water that goes in your toilet. You know, and it's not necessarily the same water that you know, waters the landscaped medians in your neighborhood. You know, sometimes that's reclaimed, but, you know, different businesses are going to get, you know, maybe two or, you know, maybe three different types of waters. But, you know, that could go to, you know, just some industry producing some widget. Maybe they need a cooling tower, you know, and they're using a whole bunch of water, you know, for cooling something. And maybe they're a food producer and they, you know, they, all their food gets boiled or steamed and they use a bunch of water. And
I think water rights is kind of a whole, I mean, that's a whole another subject for discussion as far as, you know, companies and then, you know, the states battling the companies for.
Well, it's water districts and stuff, but.
Yeah. But
maybe we should have Don on the show. We can have Don on the show to talk about the water districts, and we'll have Gina on the show to drink some beer with us.
So, well, anyhow, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what this drought does. I mean, at some point, they're going to start, you know, I know, like, a lot of agriculture producers even around here have started cutting back some of their groves just because it takes a lot of water to, you know, grow avocado trees, you know, and then, you know, avocados become more scarce, the price goes up, you know, and these guys start finding something else to do, you know, like, is this what's going to happen to this huge, you know, or what we consider huge market of craft beer in California? You know, are we going to see a limit into how many breweries are there and how much production is really going to occur here in the state? And is it going to start going somewhere else? And, you know, is this going to open up the floodgates, you know, so to speak, for other states to take the lead, because California is going to be limited, you know, just because of our resource limitation.
Now, and the funny part, though, is we never hear about, like, people are saying, you know, now we have to worry about this with the craft beer industry. We never really heard about this with the beverage companies. I mean, it seems like they have a completely unlimited supply of water, and you never hear the big beverage companies having any issues with that, you know.
Yeah,
but
they
that's probably because they have a wider reach as far as where they can get their water from, you know. Mm-hmm. For little local breweries, it could pose a problem. And for California, you know, states like California, like you're saying, where there, you know, there's drought, could definitely pose a problem, unless they end up being able to get water from either other breweries in other states or, you know, whatever the case may be. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
You get some technology going there. I mean, with all the coastal eddy and all the overcast, maybe they can get some, you know, some moisture stuff that, like, sucks the moisture out of the air and, like, turns it into drinking water.
Very trapping, and that's like
he's talking like these vapor condensers, like on Tatooine or something, man. These moisture collectors,
or like on, they did it on Brew Dogs. Remember, they had the net out and the fog rolled in.
Yeah, it's an old school method of collecting water with the screens like that, and basically catching the fog.
Yeah,
and turning it into water. Yeah, I mean there's.
And we're gonna see some fog beers. You know, maybe,
hell,
maybe
Anchorstein's going to trademark that. Watch out, everybody.
Hooking up rain barrels. I mean, if you look on YouTube, water harvesting, people get insane with that stuff.
Yeah.
Of harvesting water at their own home, you know, residential areas.
Yeah.
So in some states, it used to be illegal. I think in Colorado, at one point, I think it's the law has changed now, but it used to be illegal to harvest water.
Wow.
They didn't want anybody doing it. Like, how?
Well, because it also poses a safety issue, because now you've got, you know, a lot of times mosquitoes are attracted to standing water, and mosquitoes, you know, obviously carry things, you know, like West Nile virus and malaria and other things. So you don't want to create some sort of, you know, epidemic from, you know, of disease spreading just because you have water. You know, I mean, you have to do it in a safe and responsible manner.
Right.
You know, and if you just got trash cans sitting on the side of your yard that you open the lids on.
No, that's not. Well, I mean,
because I know somebody that did that.
Usually sealed.
Next to the rain gutter.
Right.
All right. Anyways. Nice tibbies, Dave.
So, we'll see what happens. Important it's developing. Subject. Developing topic.
Yep.
Come back at 11.
Thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast, and don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Well, listen up, baby! It's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer! Watch out now, baby bubba!
This week I'm drinking a beer by Victory. Their website is www.victorybeer.com, and this is their Golden Monkey. It's a Belgian-style triple, so I'm sure that I will absolutely love this beer and give it all kinds of you know, high ratings. Anyhow, it's made with imported two-row malts and whole flower European hops and coriander seeds. Its ABV is 9.5%. And
and
let's see here, what else?
25 IBUs.
Yeah, exotic spices from the East round out this global journey to joy. Get on board, this monkey's bound for glory.
Get on board, step inside.
Walk this way. Is that a different song?
We're monkey, singing different songs.
Monkey, monkey, don't you know you're gonna shock the monkey. That should be our intro song.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I think that was our intro song on one of the shows. I can't remember what it was.
Really?
Yep.
I don't think so, dude.
I think we might have used it.
All right, Dave's pouring his beer.
Yeah. Well, this pour is a light golden color. A little bit of see-through. I can kind of see a shadow of my finger behind it.
Did you say where these guys are from?
No. No, I didn't.
Pennsylvania.
Somewhere. I don't know where they're from.
That's the spirit. They're from somewhere.
Somewhere, I don't know, I don't care.
Somewhere. They are from Pennsylvania.
Somewhere they have water.
Victory Brewing Company is a privately held craft brewery headquartered in Downington, Pennsylvania. Begun by Bill Kovaleski and Ron Barchette, childhood friends who met on a school bus in 1973. A brewery formally began operations in February of 1996. Victory, Pennsylvania's widely acclaimed brewery and restaurant, now serves fans of fully flavored beers in 34 states with innovative beers meddling European ingredients with technology and American creativity.
You ever sorry you asked a question right after you ask it?
No. Well, they have a whole page like on this. I can read that.
That's cool. Wait, how's your beer
cool,
look?
Cool, man.
Looks pretty good, huh?
So you got what? European golden. Hops, coriander.
It's golden. There's virtually no head. It's pretty much all disappeared.
Super golden.
It's golden monkey.
Oh, it smells like a Belgian. It's got that funky Belgian-y yeasty, kind of lemony.
Funky Belgiadina.
Funky Belgiadina. A little stankiness to it. It's got that sweet.
I was thinking, Toby, with that mic, you could have put the red stitches and it would have been great for last week's show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just a bit outside.
No, it's, I mean, it's just, y'all know how a Belgian smells.
Do you, I don't know, I've never met one.
Imagine what it's like if you walk up next to Van Damme, you know?
Do you smell any kind of like any banana or...
It's more, yeah, clove, like a clovey kind of, a banana-y kind of clove kind of smell.
I've had this beer, I haven't had it in a while, I can't remember.
It smells sweet, though, it does.
And Mike, you did not have it on the show.
What?
No, this is a first appearance of the Golden Monkey.
No way, yep. Impossible.
Nope, possible.
Impossible.
Unpossible.
Well, then our website lies.
Yep, our website lies.
Well, no! This podcast does not lie!
I cannot believe I didn't do that on the show.
I thought maybe Chris had tried it on the show, but I guess not.
He tried the 400-pound monkey.
Oh, that's right. That was the monkey that he tried.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Well, this is... I don't really drink triples much, or quads or these big beers, but I mean this, it's definitely got I know it's kind of a contradiction, but it's got a sweet clove kind of flavor to it.
Hmm.
You know, you have that weird clove kind of tasting thing, but then there's a real nice
like
smooth
clove gum you used to have in the 90s.
Clove gum.
Oh yeah, dude.
What the hell is clove gum?
Yeah. Who made that? It was like by the blackjack people. The same guys that did the blackjack gum.
Yep.
No, but the mouthfeel is real. It's pretty creamy and smooth. Very little carbonation to it. I mean, you can see a few bubbles rising in it, but the head is completely gone, and it's got a real silky smooth kind of feeling to it. A lot of sweetness. Yeah, okay. A lot of sweetness in it. It's not quite syrupy, but it's tending towards being like that.
It's the esters.
Fruity esters. Can't believe I haven't done this beer on the show. It doesn't feel right. I think there's like some kind of mystery show which there still is a lost episode out there. For people who don't know, there's still a lost episode of the Beer Coasters podcast.
Is there?
Yep.
Sure about that?
Me and you recorded tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
That was from, like, the first season.
Could have been.
Mike's still, he's still not over it. He's still bitter about that whole
thing. The show must come out, damn it. The show must come out.
I remember it was the hippie show. Because I was that was my Toronto, Portland, Seattle trip. Vancouver. Jeez.
Damn it.
That was my Vancouver.
One of those Canada places, eh?
Seattle trip. And I was gone for the whole time, and you guys were supposed to record the show without me. And yeah, that was the idea, was record individual tracks, and then we would put them together and make a show. And it was like some hippie beer show or something, right?
Yep, I think so. Yep.
And then Chris never recorded his, and of course I never recorded mine, but Mike recorded his, and it's somewhere in the cyberspace.
Lost in the archives.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what beer I did.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Is like an overripe kind of a fruit. You know, maybe a fruit that's fermented or something. But, I mean, it's got a lot of, like I said, a lot of sweetness to it. And, you know, some kind of smoothness to it. And it's definitely got the alcohol. I mean, you can tell that this beer's got, you know, got some heft to it. Not a chugging kind of beer. It's a beer you got to kind of take down slowly, you know. It's kind of like doing it in the you got to ease into it.
You give it a butt plug for a little while first, and then
you start with like a pencil or something, yeah, you know.
Pencil. And then your Jesus pinky.
He's bringing writing utensils into it.
Eraser side first.
Yeah, you don't want to break the lid off in there, dude. That's just.
Is that a metaphor for something?
Break the
or maybe off. Or maybe a Sharpie, you know, a Sharpie might work. It's got like a little, you know, little bit of a smooth side.
Or
to
you
it.
Could do like a, you know, you could start off with a thermometer, you know, because that's what they're for. A little anal thermometer.
Is it warm enough? Yeah, let me look. Let me put this in there.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
what would you pair this with?
Back at the tasting flight.
Man.
I think he paired it with anal sex. I don't think you were listening.
No. I want like I want some like mapley walnut cheese kind of a thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like some syrupy cheese
log.
No, not a cheese log. Not like the yellow cheese with like the almonds on it. No, not the Hickory Farms cheese log. I mean, that's another thing you could probably put in the anus, but you know, the little almond thingies or what are little nuts on the outside, just, you know, kind of make it rough. But no, I'm thinking like kind of like a creamy kind of a cheese with like some sort of like sweetness, like syrup, mapley syrup kind of thing, and like a walnut. I think would go good with that. Okay. You know, just like some sort of cheese spread, maybe some crackers.
Canadian.
No, I think that would go good with this. But yeah, you definitely need a little bit of the cheese and the nuts for show.
Cheese and the nuts. All right.
Yeah, you put your nuts in something cheesy. It looks like the Untappd ratings come in at 3.76.
Crazy how he can transition so beautifully like that.
Out of 47,085 ratings.
47,000.
47,000 people have rated this beer. Top three places to drink it are, wow, Stone Brewing Company. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's similar beers. They move things from here. All right, top three places to drink this are The Yard House in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Victory Brewing Company in Donningtown, Pennsylvania. Oasis Micro Pub in Rockford, Illinois.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, and Rehoboth Beach showed up in here too somewhere down the list.
Rehoboth.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles. You can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
What's up, folks? This is Toby out west. I am still in Las Vegas, Nevada, although in a few weeks, I will be in San Diego. For good.
Oh. Dang.
Yeah. So there's a news flash for you there, folks. I'm moving back to San Diego.
You heard it here first, folks.
Pretty crazy. So we'll see how it goes. We're getting less and less in between on the show here, you know. We lost Chris, who was in Texas. I'm in Nevada, so I'm still west, but I'm still kind of closer to the middle of the country.
You're going to be sad, Toby, that you're not going to have Lee's and Total Wine anymore.
So if we have any loyal fans that have been listening to the show a long time
in the Midwest,
like,
area,
in like Wichita, Kansas or something, reach out to us and maybe you'll be the new in-between podcaster.
Yeah. As long as you have a microphone and an internet connection.
And a computer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And a computer.
And right. And a weekly beer allowance.
Yes, because we will not pay you. All right. Let's see here. This is my monkey beer for this week for our 12 Monkeys show. Yes. This is the Yosemite Falls. This is the Yosemite Falls IPA, and this is from Three Monkeys Brewing, which is a
new brewery.
Yes, Three Monkeys is out of Belmont, California. Their website is themonkeysbrewing.com. This is brewed with pure spring water from the Yosemite Mountains.
What?
Yes. They brew traditional craft ales in California. The Yosemite Falls IPA comes in at 6.5% ABV. There are 62.2 IBUs. The malts are North American Turo and specialty malts, and I don't know what hops they use in this one. So, I am going...
I'm sorry, Toby. Which one was this one? Yosemite Falls?
Yosemite Falls IPA.
IPA.
Whoa.
Was this previously the Gold Monkey IPA?
No, they do have a Gold Monkey IPA also listed on their website. I did not see that one in the store, or else I probably would have gotten that one. But, Three Monkeys Brewing is monkey enough for this show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I see the other one now.
Yeah.
Yosemite Falls.
Quite a bit of carbonation on this. I got about two big Yeti fingers of head on there.
Big Yeti fingers. That's like saying wet water. It's kind of redundant.
Two Yeti fingers of head. Fairly clear. There is a little bit of particulates floating around in there. There's some murkiness happening.
That's just sediment.
And it's a golden color. You know, it's a yellow with a little bit of orange hue to it. So it's leaning towards the golden side. On the nose. Ooh.
Smells like monkeys.
There's a really sweet nose, like a candied. Some sort of candied fruit. Ooh, yeah, this smells yummy. Yeah, there's a... It's like a candied... Kind of like a candied peach. Ooh, now I'm kind of getting a little bit of a yeasty something is coming out. Ooh, I'm even picking up on a little bit of a cola aroma.
Oh, Toby with his cola.
Empty smells really good.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Nice mouthfeel, but there's something weird about this. There's a citrusiness in there, and there's a nice, like, a nice mouthfeel, like there was a nice bite, you know, like an IPA type bite to it. And then and then it totally cleans up, but then in the aftertaste, there's a little bit of a kind of a grassiness, kind of a like a citrusy kind of grassiness, sort of a like a lemongrass. And okay, there's still that kind of candied fruit type flavor in there. This is strange. I mean, it's not strange bad. It's really weird. It does not feel like, I know I said that it has that bite, but it doesn't feel like an IPA. It's almost like a, it's almost, it's not, I'm not puckering like if I'm drinking a lemonade, but it has this kind of, so I guess like a bite, like I'm drinking a fruit juice, where it has a little bit of that, you know, citrusy twang, but it's...
Twang?
I mean, maybe it's because the carbonation is really low, because I'm looking at it, and there's very little bubbles rising in this. And so maybe that's it. Is it has a bite like from the hops, but there's no carbonation bite, and so it's very strange. It's not bad. It's just...
It's different.
Very different.
What are you thinking you'd like to pair with this?
Oh, man, I don't know. Potato wedges? With bacon and cheese,
some sour cream.
Well, I mean, I'll have that with anything.
It's crazy because it doesn't smell like it's been tainted. It doesn't smell like it's.
Doesn't smell like taint.
It smells really good. It smells really fruity and.
Does it taste as good as it smell?
Like cola. There's like this kind of like
fruity almost, cola, like cherry, like cherry, like Coke.
Like a Hansen's, you know, like a Hansen's fruit soda.
But not like a strawberry soda.
Natural soda.
Very strange. I mean, okay. It's starting to feel more like a pale ale now. Because it's not overly hoppy. It's not super bitter. It's sweet and it's very tame. It's very laid back. It's super chuggable. There's not a whole lot of carbonation in the mouthfeel. And there's really nothing that's, it doesn't feel like it's spoiled or that it's old, you know, like it's flat or something like that. It doesn't really feel like that because it has some nice flavors in it. But yeah, food pairing, I think maybe like I said, potato wedges or even like a BLT or something like that. I mean, I think bacon, maybe that's what I'm leaning towards is something with bacon in it. Yeah.
I like the way you think.
Interesting. So I'll have some more to say about this in Last Call. This is Three Monkeys Brewing out of Belmont, California. And Belmont sounds familiar. I think somebody else brews there. I want to say like Knee Deep brews out of Belmont, I think. And I've done Knee Deep a couple of times on the show. Really small brewery, very limited distribution.
They're out of Auburn, California.
Oh, okay.
Which,
who else is in Belmont?
Auburn's not that far away. I mean, I guess they are kind of far away.
So, I mean,
away.
Is Belmont, is it in the Sierras?
Well, Belmont, no, it's actually just outside of, between Madera and San Fresno. So, no, it's not really in the Sierras. Belmont, now, knee deep is like, you know, right at the base of the Sierra Mountains there up in, okay. You know, up outside of Roseville.
Okay. So anyway, this is their Yosemite Falls IPA. The number 3 monkeysbrewing.com is their website. And yeah, we'll see how this goes as it warms up. And I'll get back to you in Last Call. I didn't do any ratings. Here we go. Yosemite Falls IPA from Three Monkeys comes in at a 3.46 out of 76 ratings. And there's no top three places to drink it. Big shocker. So there you go. Very few ratings on Untappd.
There it is.
And the Beer Advocate users have not weighed in on this beer.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google Plus, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Well, hello out there in Beer Coaster Land. This is Mike from Boston.
Hello.
And we're going to finish up this 12 Monkeys show with my tasting flight. And that is Victory's White Monkey. That's right.
Victory!
And Dave gave you the rundown earlier about Victory Brewing Company. They're from Downingtown, Pennsylvania. This beer in particular, the White Monkey, is 9.5%. Basically, all right, I'll give you the rundown. Dave basically described this beer because this beer is the Golden Monkey. The difference is this beer is aged for 3 months in basically white wine barrels.
Hmm. Wow.
And that's kind of the difference in this one. I'm going to uncage and uncork it. I have the...
Be nice to try side by side, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Because they're both Belgian triples.
Yes, they are both triples. 750 mil, and of course this is going to be a big pain to open.
Oh, but yours is Cajun cork. Crazy Dave's was just a cap.
Just a cap. And in a six-pack.
And to keep within theme, I'm using my Florida beer company Swamp Ape glass.
Nice. Sweet.
Wow. It is
Yeah, making me look like an amateur over here, Mike.
Very light. Right? I mean, it's got a very light almost like a bright yellow, but it's going towards golden. Pretty clear, actually. I'm not getting any of those particulates, but, you know, I just poured a little bit in the glass here. This glass is kind of on the small side. Head's dissipating pretty quickly. There's a little film around the edges right now on the nose. And you can smell the... It's like a white wine. Almost... I hate to say it, but almost like a vinegary type booziness to it.
Now, is it Chardonnay?
You know, I was looking for that, and for some reason, it just says American oak barrels, and that was aging white wine, but it does not give the specifics on what kind of wine it was. I don't know, maybe if Dave had that, he'd be able to smell what kind of white wine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's very few white wines that they put on oak, and, you know, Chardonnay would be one of them.
Yeah.
That was a lucky guess, Dave, by the way, for me.
Yes, I'm sensing a little buttery Chardonnay.
Mmm.
No, it's,
I'm getting Napa. I'm getting
a little bit of that...
Napa region?
That honeycomb kind of maltiness, too, that I was mentioning before in the in our fermentation beer, the Monkey Fist. And then now that all the head is gone, I'm getting some of that Belgian yeastiness and some of that clove kind of coming through, peeking through there.
Taking a sip, yeah.
I think that's a really interesting idea to age something in a wine barrel. I know Stone has done quite a few beers like that.
Yeah.
But a triple in a white wine, to me, that seems like it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I just think that it might work out. So.
No, it totally.
Yeah,
would.
This, to be honest, the first sip, I got like a sweet coconut, because that oaky vanilla is kind of turning into a coconutty type flavor with the Belgian, you know, that Belgianiness with the.
No, I could.
That oaky vanilla is giving me kind of a coconut flavor.
Yeah, no, that's. You know, that's kind of the fun thing about you know, like the about, you know, having a barrel, you know, is that you can get that coconut, or vanilla, and you know, some of those toasted kind of flavors too.
Yep.
You know, maybe even like caramel, or maybe even like, yeah, depending on how heavy of a toast they put on it, you might even get some smoke or some spice in it. But
yeah, I mean the cloviness is coming through there a little bit, but it the barrel actually gives this more. I wish I had the Golden Monkey recently, because it would really help me kind of discern the differences. And I remember the Golden Monkey being kind of a Belgian triple, but pretty standard Belgian triple-y ness, you know, like. You're getting some of the Belgian yeastiness and the clove, mm-hmm. and the, you yeah. know, some of the fruity esters that you would get typically. But this, with the mixing of the oak, it's weird that I'm getting that coconut and then some sweetness. It's really interesting. It's not as big as I thought it was going to be. It doesn't have as big a mouthfeel. I would not guess that this is 9.5%. I have a very specific pairing that I want to go with here. Ooh. And it's going to be a strawberry balsamic vinegar a strawberry balsamic pizza with chicken, sweet onion, and bacon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's something about that? Well, I think this totally calls for something sweet and salty combined.
Yeah.
And I wanted to try to make it interesting.
Is this a pizza that you've had recently and you thought would go well?
Someone mentioned it to me recently and it sounded interesting. And I was thinking of those flavors. And it's like, I could kind of see that, having a beer like this and having something as crazy, you know, a crazy mix of things, and like the sweet and salt, like for candy, like we're talking like chocolate covered potato chips, perfect with this beer.
What?
You know, yeah, I'm telling you.
Wow.
Like it needs some kind of sweet, salty mix that would go really well with.
But not like raisins and M&M's and peanuts.
Like, or
trail mix. Corn. Yeah, like trail mix.
It's like, I'm gonna pair this with some trail mix.
I don't know about pairing
some white
trail
chocolate
mix,
chips.
Unless you were camping and you brought this bottle with you, then maybe trail mix would go. But now I'm sticking with the. What about what?
Something like you said that it's like a strawberry vinaigrette type thing. With
strawberry balsamic pizza.
Balsamic with like some feta or something like that.
See, that seems like it'd be a bit light for a triple. Like for a triple, I'm thinking like cheeses and stuff. And
it's got cheeses. Something. I mean, it's a pizza. It's got cheeses. You get nice creamy cheeses. Yeah. You get the sweet onion and the bacon, which is an awesome kind of sweet and salty combo right there.
Don't get me wrong, dude. I want it. I want it right now. I want you to make me that pizza right now.
He wants you to do something else, it sounds like.
I want to make me that pizza right now. All right, well, there you have it, folks. The Victory White Monkey from Victory Brewing Company. The Untapped Users rate this a 3.8 out of 6,910 ratings. The top three places to drink this beer is the Flying Saucer in Fort Worth, Texas.
Been there.
And I have too, so there.
with Beer Coaster Chris, I presume.
Yes, that's true. Also, Argosy in Atlanta, Georgia, and Eli Cannons in Middletown, Connecticut. And number four on the list, I can't go without mentioning, and number four is Victory Brewing Company.
Sweetness. And,
sorry, one more. The Beer Advocate users rate this an 87, which is very good. It's the Tweet of the Week! Tweet of the Week! It's the Tweet of the Week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the Week, yeah!
Today is hashtag IPA Day 2014, so go enjoy your disgusting beer, people that pretend to love IPAs.
That's right, folks. Last call. This is where we talk about the beers that we drank previously and rate them.
Beers that we drank and drunk.
Who drank first?
I did.
Crazy day.
Give us some ratings.
Well, the shipyard.
Monkey Fist!
Oh, you know what? All three of us had the Monkey Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since all three of us have
been a while.
Yeah, we still have one person that goes through all their beers.
I think he's just impressed that we all had a fermentation conversation.
Ah,
because last week Dave didn't have it. Week before that, I'm sure I didn't have it or Mike. It's nice that all three of us actually had the fermentation beer this week. That's all I'm trying to say. All
right,
that was the plan.
I mean, that is always the plan. But it doesn't always work out.
Love it when a plan comes together.
You know this Monkey Fist IPA, the shipyard. I mean, it was. What I liked about it wasn't a California IPA. You know, it wasn't a West Coast style IPA. You know, but
definitely not.
No, not at all. It's not bitter. It's not hops. And, you know, whacking bushes all in your face and everything. Even though the monkey on the label here is busting whacking through the label bushes. And you know, it's got a hand. Fist full of hops, you know. He's got a monkey fist
full of hops.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna force these hops down your throat. You know, it's like, well, okay, you know, it's an IPA and it's a little.
Where's
bit,
my frog?
So, I don't know. It was all right. I'll give it a 3. Nothing outstanding about it. Nothing too crazy about it. I mean, drinkable, but I mean, there's definitely other things that other IPAs that I would rather drink. As for the Victory Golden Monkey, don't let it deceive you of what kind of beer this is by the fact that they're selling it to you in a 6-pack. Because I was completely deceived. I had no idea about what this beer was. I just saw, oh, there's a 6-pack of beer that says monkey on it, so I grabbed it. Then I come to learn that it's a strong Belgian triple. What I like about it is that I like the smooth sweetness maltiness of it.
I think that's something about the show is that we a lot of times we don't really read past the label.
It's the show kind of dictates that sometimes. Like sometimes we're looking for particular things, and don't do all our homework until we actually get
just to like them. It says monkey. Cool, I'm getting it.
And that's what I did. But you know, I'm not a big Belgian fan, but I can really appreciate you know what they're doing here, and it's got some nice flavors to it. It's got a really nice mouthfeel to it, and I think you kind of feel a little more sophisticated drinking it. I'm going to give it a 3.5. You know, it's a little tough to drink a lot of it. You know, like, it's definitely like a slow kind of sipper kind of thing. But I definitely can appreciate, you know, the complexities and the nuances that are happening here.
So I don't know what if that says something about the shipyard or if it says something about you, Dave, that you have come to the point where you are rating a Belgian beer higher than an IPA. Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, like I said, I feel more sophisticated drinking this beer than I do the IPA, you know.
That's what Belgian will do for you.
Just think if you were drinking the White Monkey, you'd feel even more sophisticated.
I think
if
you were drinking the White Monkey, you would be sucking the Belgian's.
And what if they had a Black Monkey?
Oh, yeah. You'd be feeling it.
I can't believe I just said that. What's wrong with me?
Damn, Mike. Rubbing off on you there.
Set 9.5% ABV. Same.
All right, Toby.
Okay. Shipyard Monkey Fist. Yeah, I'm kind of with Dave on that. It's not. I guess maybe I've gotten too used to the West Coast style and I haven't had too many of the East Coast style IPAs. But drinking this, it feels like an East Coast IPA. So in that sense, I think that they kind of hit the nail on the head with it because it's shipyard, it's an IPA, and for them, I think that it's more than the 4X from Pugsley's. So it's more IPA is what I mean. It's more bitter, it's more, you know, like what you would expect out of an IPA. But out here on the West, no, it's nothing like that. It's way more tame and whatever. I'm gonna go with a 3.5. I think it's good. I think it had really good flavors, but I don't know. I wanted a little bit more, I guess. But then again, it is shipyard and there's really nothing too wrong with it. Other than I kind of wanted more hoppiness out of it, I guess. So 3.5. Not bad. For the Three Monkeys Yosemite Falls IPA, it feels kind of homebrewy. It doesn't really feel like an IPA. It feels more like a pale ale. It has some good flavors. It's got some good fruity sweetness. It's very drinkable. I kind of wish there was a little bit more carbonation for my palate. But, yeah, I mean, maybe that's why I'm feeling it's a little kind of homebrewy. But it's not bad. There's really nothing really bad about it. I want more out of it, especially if it's going to be an IPA from California kind of thing. So I'm going to go 2.5.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of meh. I mean, it's... I don't think it's spoiled. I don't think it's stale. I just think that it's...
Whack?
Yeah, kind of whack for an IPA, especially from California. But, you know, anyway, yeah, 2.5.
Well, for me, the you know, we were talking about not looking past the labels. This shipyard always struck me as kind of a funny beer for me because it's like a very like cartoon kind of monkey on the label. And if you look at Shipyard's other beers, it's a very kind of nautical. Kind of straightforward, kind of nautical labels, you know, for the most part. They really kind of keep in line with that nautical theme. And then you got this crazy cartoon monkey with a fistful of hops. Aside from that, I think it's fairly decent IPA. I see what Toby's saying about the East Coast IPA, and I think what makes it that is getting some of that... that English style maltiness that I think might possibly be missing from a West Coast style. Not that there isn't some maltiness in some West Coast styles, although there are a whole hell of a lot that are completely void of maltiness.
I mean, maybe it could be, Mike, that kind of like what I was saying when I was drinking it, is it seems very shipyard, and maybe
that's what it is. I think it's that English maltiness.
English malty,
English
kind
pale.
Of, yeah.
That being said, I'm going to rate it the same as Toby, 3.5. It's a solid IPA. If I saw it on tap, I would definitely grab it. It's very drinkable.
See, I wouldn't definitely
talk about
grab
this
it.
All the time about the IPA list just runs so deep that it's, for me, it's so difficult to try to rate stuff like this without having some of these other ones to kind of compare it to, because I think, oh, this is kind of like this beer, or I think I might like this a little better than this one. There's so many of them, it's just hard to keep track. But 3.5 is pretty solid. I mean, I would get that if I saw it on tap over maybe a couple others.
Yeah.
I'd definitely check it out. I think I don't know, man. I'm a little bit different than you on that. I think I would rather choose other IPAs than that one. So.
Well, it depends on what's available. Like, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should have specified that I would pick this over maybe. It all depends on what's on tap. But it's not like I won't drink this beer again if it's available, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still a very drinkable IPA. Yes, there's a whole hell of a lot better IPAs out there. But I like this one. For the Victory White Monkey... this is a very interesting one for me. I absolutely love this beer, but technically, there's probably a whole hell of a lot of things that are, like, way off. As far as the mouthfeel and some of the complexity and some of the flavors that may not be, you know, what they're supposed to be. I feel like... you know, rating this to style or rating this to the way the Belgian triple's supposed to be, I wouldn't do it justice by... There's something I really like about this. Even though there's things that are wrong with it, I may even like some of the things that are wrong with it. Like, the mouthfeel's a little bit thinner than I think it should for a triple.
You think it should be thicker, huh?
Yeah, I think so. But... because it's not, there's something that I like about it. Like, it's really drinkable. I really enjoy the flavors. I would love to have this with food. And I can say there's a lot of triples that I would not like to have with food, because a lot of them I just kind of want to sip on, and it's, like, too rich and too heavy for me to you know, want to have anything with it. This one I definitely want to sit down and have a meal with this beer. I'm giving this a 4.5. I really, really like it. I can't give it a full 5, only because that part that says, hey, this is supposed to be, you know, you're missing a few checks in the boxes here as far as what this beer is supposed to be. But I think there's too many aspects of this beer that I like, even though they're not maybe technically, you know, the right thing. I'm totally reviewing this beer strictly on my emotions and my feelings and my taste buds. I think that's about it. I think that wraps it up for this week. We got a few shout outs. I'm going to give a shout out to Jeff Nelson from Stone Brewing Company. Also, Two Girls Trippin', St. James Brewery, Oliver Harold Magnifique, and they added me to the top geeks on Twitter list.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's official. Mike's a geek.
That's it.
I'll give a shout out on Untappd to Eric D and Christian and Tony K. Big shout outs to those guys on Untappd. I want to give a big shout out to Beer Coaster Charlie. He hooked up with me when I was in San Diego for basically one night.
Man, Charlie gets around.
Jeez, he hooked up with you. He's kissing Dave. What the hell's going on?
I was in San Diego for about one night. And
Charlie's a hoe.
Charlie, let's go to O'Brien's, which is my favorite beer bar in San Diego. And, yeah. And of course, he, you know, I had to twist his arm a little bit. And... so we had a couple of pints there at O'Brien's, and it was good times. So, Beer Coaster Charlie, shout out, big time.
Give a shout out to Holiday Wine Cellar. That's where I, you know, it's one of the two big places that I get my beer today. And walked in there, since I need a beer at Monkey, and they says, well, we got the Golden Monkey, and that was after I found the Shipyard, you know, Monkey Fist. And so I want to give them a shout out for helping me find beers that had the name Monkey in it. And they also recommended a couple wines that even had the word monkey in them. And then right after all that, you know, without employees kind of all wandering around the store looking for my monkey beer, some lady ended up buying a six-pack of Golden Monkey. So
nice.
Maybe Holiday Owes Meal will shout out.
There must be something about this monkey thing.
Yeah. He's like, oh, monkey bears?
It's funny how that happened, because I was at, I won't mention like what store I was at, but this guy was...
They dress kind of weird there?
They were grinding coffee, and they had the big two-pound bags of whole bean coffee.
Starbucks?
And grinding, and I could smell it. I was like, man, that coffee smells good. I went over to look to see which one it was, and it was a Kona. I was like, I'm going to get freaking 2 pounds of Kona right now. So nice. That guy had no idea that he just sold a two-pound bag of coffee to me. Just like that lady has no idea, you know.
Right.
For Crazy 50 Dave sold bucks. Her a freaking pack, a six-pack of Golden Monkey. And who knows? Maybe now she's going to be a Belgian fan, going in looking for these Belgian triples everywhere.
Yeah, she's may like, have just I can't get enough somebody. Of these Belgian triples. White Monkey? Ooh, I love wine. Give me some White Monkey.
Give me some White Monkey.
I love these monkey beers. Ooh, 3 Monkey. Yosemite Falls. Oh, here's 4 monkeys. Gotta be better than 3 monkeys. Monkey Fist. Oh, yeah. Oh, here's a Bonobo Brown.
all right, that's about it before this goes completely off the rails.
I'll give a quick shout out to Golden
Road. I really
Road.
Like this beer. Guys, I want someone out there listening to the show to go out and grab this beer and tell me what they think, because I got a feeling there's a lot of people that are going to be like, no, I don't understand why you like it, and I'm hoping there's some out there that are like, yeah, I totally get this. You're spot on with your review.
Well, maybe someone will do that, Mike.
I'll give a quick shout out to Golden Road Brewing. They just showed up here in Vegas, so shout out to them. It's awesome.
Oh, you get the beer from them there in Vegas?
Like, yeah, they just started. Yeah, I was at the beer store.
I thought you meant
today.
Like a brewery just rolled into town. Like, yep, they're here now. They just freaking set up shop.
No.
That's it. All right, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast, 12 Monkeys Edition. See you next week. And remember, this is your show. We're just drinking in it.
Word.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I got a whole hell of a lot more beer to drink.
Yeah, you do.